Well, as I said, we normally each and every Thursday afternoon at this time of day have a chat with Mark Latham, but he's having a well-earned break, so I'm really pleased to say that Senator Pauline Hanson is filling in for Mark for a couple of weeks, and we're looking forward to having a chat with her about all sorts of different things. Good afternoon, Senator Hanson. How are you?
Good afternoon, Brent. I'm fantastic. Yes, last day of Parliament, I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah, I suppose.
The break.
I was imagining you'd be looking forward to the break. You're heading back home. Do you head home today, or is there a big do tonight that you all get together and let your hair down?
No. Actually, I think it was last year, we sat till about midnight, and they were still putting things through the Parliament, and so who knows what time we finish. We're totally different to the lower house. The lower house will finish at 5 o'clock this afternoon. That's the House of Reps. The Senate, there's really no set time on it, so who knows what's going to happen. As I said previously, it's been midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning before we finish. And I'm only home for a couple of days, and I'm heading over to Perth on Monday, and that's for the Family Law Court Senate hearings, and that's into the merger of the two courts, the Family Court and the Family Circuit Court. That's for people to go before the committee and hearings. Then from Perth to Adelaide the next day, Adelaide to Sydney, Sydney to Brisbane, Brisbane to Townsville, Townsville, Rockhampton, then I'm home.
Gosh.
That's next week.
Holy smokes, that's just in a week.
Yeah, that's my week. Every day, different city, different place. It's very important to me to follow up on this because I've been instigating the Family Law Court matters for that inquiry into it, and it was only instigated by myself, even though it's been an ongoing issue for many, many years. All the politicians know that is a huge issue that really affects majority of people in this country, yet they have done nothing about it. So I'm pleased to have the Senate inquiry going into it. Christian Porter, who's the Attorney General, he's doing a fantastic job with it, and I'm working with him for changes to happen. I've actually had it on the notice of the motion today to try and get up a Royal Commission into the Family Law Courts. Now, it's only a notice of the motion, but I was hoping to get the support of the Parliament. I did speak to the Prime Minister a couple of days about it, raised it with him that he needs to hold a Royal Commission into the Family Law Courts. And so anyway, that's where that is at the moment, and I will continue to push for that.
And of course, you've also, they say you delivered a sting earlier in the week when you demanded to know why they chose to breach, this is the Senate procedures, by failing to table the full text of the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership 11 for consideration before it was signed into law. Why did they do this? Why did they go about it this way?
Well, it was brought into its procedural orders, and this is Senate's standing orders, and they didn't comply with it. And they brought that in 2013. It was basically, that was Labor who brought it in, saying that any bilateral or agreements, free trade agreements, must be presented, tabled on the floor of Parliament 14 days before signing. The TPP 11, Trans-Pacific Partnership, that was actually signed prior to even coming on the floor of Parliament, and this is other free trade agreements, the China, the Korean, the Japanese one, they have signed these without coming before the floor of Parliament. Simon Birmingham, the minister, he reckons it's gone through other committees and looked at. That's not what it's supposed to say. It comes before the Parliament and it should be debated. We are a country that doesn't debate these issues. Like in America and Canada and other countries, they debate their free trade agreements. And that's what true democracy is. But they sign these behind closed doors. And when that TPP 11 came before the Parliament, it was only basically rubber stamping because we could not change one word of that agreement. We could not add an amendment to it. We could do absolutely nothing because it would mean that the whole agreement would be made defunct. And I made a point of pointing out to them that you have not followed the procedures. It is wrong what you have done. Nothing's going to happen about it. But I wanted assurances and to put them on notice that with the Indonesian Free Trade Agreement, I want it presented on the floor of Parliament as the procedure says it should happen.
And what's the reaction been?
Look, when I actually spoke to it, the Greens actually have supported me. Mm-hmm. So has Rex Patrick. So has and the Labor Party got up. And they, although they passed it, they also said, and Carr, Senator Carr, he actually had a go at the government for not doing this. But listen, It's all talk, no action. I like to see what they're going to do if they're in the government's shoes next time, after this next election, what they are going to do about it. But I hear from too many people, they're very concerned about the TPP 11, and so they should, because it's got in it investor-state disputes, and that means that if a multinational company is caused to lose profits from their business due to government legislation or because of the Australian legislation or laws, mm-hmm. they can sue us for loss of profits.
Right.
And that we've been taken twice before by Philip Morris, which they didn't get up. It went to an international law court. They moved it to Hong Kong. But you're not being heard in your own court in our high court system. You're heard by an international panel of three people.
Gosh.
So we don't have control over this. And this has happened 900 cases around the world. Australia has been involved in six, that we've taken other countries to court over this. But there's one ongoing at the moment where you've got this international company. They actually gave an Australian company some equipment. Anyway, what's happened is that company went bust. The bank foreclosed on them. Now they're suing the government for loss of profits. Why it's our problem, I don't know. But this is the taxpayers' dollars. And that's why I argued on the floor of Parliament with the TPP 11 that we need to actually get out of this ISDS in it. And New Zealand did, because the Prime Minister did there. She did side letters with these countries saying they're not bound by the ISDS.
Which is a similar thing to what we should be doing, really.
Correct. They're not interested in it. And when I asked the questions on the floor of Parliament of the Minister, she actually said, oh, it's all hypothetical. No, it's not hypothetical. We've been through this before. We've got one ongoing at the moment. She apparently didn't know anything about that, and it's just ridiculous. So this is why you need, parties like myself that keeps an eye on the ball, calls for accountability, holds them to account, and that's what we need to do, Brent. It's so important. There are so many things, and they're both aligned. They're both exactly the same. They will put through whatever they can that suits them. And I don't believe the interest of the Australian people is looked after the best that we possibly can.
Go girl, as they say. You also today are putting through a motion to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. There's a lot of people agree with you there.
Yes, because of time constraints. They've got all this going on in the lower house today to do with Nauru. So anyway, this Thursdays is a time of time constraints. So anyway, but it was on the notice paper. It will come up at the next sitting of Parliament, and that was to pull out of about the Paris Agreement that we have, Paris Climate Deal. It is a ridiculous deal that we're involved in. You've got America who's not involved in it. You've got China and India that don't adhere to it. We are not the emitters in the world for this carbon dioxide. Most of it comes from the Northern Hemisphere, but we're paying out hundreds of millions of dollars to have some other countries tell us how we should be an agreement, how we should be dealing with these issues in our country. I cannot believe the number of people that are actually brainwashed into thinking that we are facing rising temperatures. Now, at one time it was one degree or 2 degrees by the end of the century, and yet I've just read recently, no, it's up to now 3 or 5 degrees. They wouldn't even know. They don't even know how to determine the weather from one week to the next in this country, of what, let alone, 100 years down the track, and I think it's ridiculous. And we are doing so much damage to ourselves by pursuing, this electricity with solar and wind power, which I'm not against. I'm not against it, by all means. But do it in a sensible, managed way that we're not getting rid of that dispatchable power that we get from coal. And that's so very important to us, because we don't have the technology to actually have the battery storage power. And if you have so much solar and wind power, when you've got that going into the grid, that can actually do damage to the grid. When you've got too much flowing in the grid, it can actually blow up the generators.
As many have said, Pauline, it has to be reliable, available, and most affordable.
Cost-effective.
Yeah,
that's exactly right, because Australians are seeing such high-rise costs in electricity and we can't afford it. And what the big thing that's getting, I'm hearing, is from businesses, industries, manufacturing. They can't afford it. They're shutting down.
They are. I mean, I know little small businesses in Newcastle. I mean, little cafes. I mean, they're closing their doors because business is so tough and they just can't afford the energy bills.
It's not going to change. Under the Labor and the Greens, they're actually going to keep pushing this up to 50% by 2030. The Greens want it up to 75, 100%. And I tell you what, if people think that this is going to be managed by the Labor Party and the Greens when they get control of this parliament, think twice about it, because your electricity bills will continue to go up, especially if they're in coalition with the Greens. And they'll be pushed by the Greens, and I tell you what, it's going to be so destructive, they'll introduce a carbon tax. They will not have the money, and the renewables will, they'll be paying out billions of dollars to these companies. They will jump on the bandwagon, more of them. Then you're going to find they won't have the money to run the country, because they want to hand out more in welfare payments and people who are not responsible. And then we're going to find they will bring in taxes, death duties. They're hitting the housing market with a negative gearing and capital gains tax. So it's going to have a big impact on just hard-working Australians trying to keep their heads above water.
Pauline, with the minority government now that we have with us with the move from Julia Banks, how do you see that laying out? I mean, it's going to be tested today, is it? There's a couple of stories around today that the Morrison government is exposed to a possible defeat today from a multi-party push to legislate faster medical treatment for refugees on Manus Island and Nauru. That's going to be tested today in Parliament.
It is, and that's what's happening in the lower house at this stage, and then it's going to come up to the Senate to deal with it there. Can I just say, people don't know that on Nauru you've got about 475 people. Of these, just over 300 are actually refugees, well, claimed refugee status, but they've been denied refugee status because they're not classified as it.
Right.
These people actually has been denied by the High Court to actually come under Australian law. They are actually under Nauruan law. And Nauru and Papua New Guinea, where you've got refugees there, they actually determine whether they are refugees or not. Papua New Guinea has denied 20 that claim refugee status and they're not refugees. So it's their responsibility. Our responsibility is to their health. Okay, so we actually have agreed to look after health. Australian taxpayers have built a wing to the Nauruan hospital for the people over there, plus also for the Nauruans, for their health issues. There are 61 doctors that are made available for these people. That means one doctor to every 7 or 8 people.
Right.
We also spend around $450 million a year has been given as a budget to the immigration to deal with this, the issue over there. We've got 10 children left on Nauru and over there. 4 don't want to leave the island. This has been an absolutely ploy by the Greens and by the Labor Party to say how they are mistreated. They're not mistreated. What they're doing is they are actually having Skype with doctors out here. Now, doctors are looking at them and say, look, you may not look well or anything, so they're doctor shopping. So then what they do then is they get a doctor on the side saying, look, you don't look well, or you might have mental depression or, problems with it. So then they go to the courts. They drag a judge out and the authorities out possibly at 1 o'clock in the morning to say, what is going on over there? Are these people in danger? How's their health? And then they actually tell them, no, it's not, or it's been dealt with. And that's what we're doing. We don't even have that for our own people here. We have the Indigenous people, kids that are being raped at 2 and 6 and 7 or all ages in the Northern Territory. We don't even look after our own people here to give them the assistance that they need. And a lot of these kids or people over on Nauru, and I'm not saying the kids, but I was advised that these people actually self-harm or they eat rocks so that they actually get a swelled stomach to show that they've got some problems. So they're actually doing it to themselves because they are so intent to get to Australia. And they have been offered medical assistance and some have been taken to Taiwan for that medical assistance. And the ones that have been offered it have refused because they want to come to Australia.
And they'll do anything they can to get there.
Correct. And that's what's not, it's not been told to the public. And I'm so angry about this, Brent. I've travelled Australia quite extensively. I've gone to rural and regional towns who are begging for doctors, begging for medical practitioners because they can't get anything. And we've got 61 doctors.
That's crazy. You
know, give me a break.
Yeah, true. Just quickly, Malcolm Turnbull, by his close mate, Craig Lordy, was apparently, according to The Australian today, told to basically shut up and get out of the spotlight because it could damage his legacy. You think it's good advice? And he might take it?
I think it's good advice, definitely. Will the former Prime Minister take it? I doubt it. I doubt it. Because, you know what, I think he's got a real vendetta. I think he's... you know, I see the former Prime Minister as a person of narcissistic qualities.
Right.
And I believe that he's been had a few dints put in with having his leadership challenged. And I believe that he'll keep going until he destroys the Liberal Party, so that they've got no chance of getting up. And I hope that people see through this because... I think Scott Morrison's trying to do the best job that he possibly can and raising these issues, and I think just give him a go and listen to what his policies are. I don't always agree with everything that he says, and they don't with me, but I've been able to work with them. We've been able to get changes made. I've got so much done with them. The Labor Party don't even talk to me.
Right.
When this bill's coming forward, only twice, I think, or three times in the 2.5 years that I've been here has the Labor Party knocked on my door to talk to me about legislation or any bills. And I can go to the government and if I want to be informed better, they will actually go out of their way. I'll speak directly with the ministers, or if they can't at that time, I'll get advisors, their senior advisors talking to me. The briefings up front, I think it's good. I hope if the government changes that I have this working relationship with the Labor Party, but their attitude towards me is, I don't like it. It stinks.
Pauline, do you think that there are members of the Liberal Party that just think that Malcolm Turnbull should be expelled from the party for what he's done since he lost the job of Prime Minister?
Look, I can't comment on that. They don't tell me their views about that. If he was in my party, I would expel him.
Right. Okay.
I would get rid of him because he's a hindrance to me. He's not a help. You don't have someone who's been the leader of the party. They've been loyal to him and backed him all this time when he failed in poll after poll after poll, nearly 40 polls. They backed him. They supported him. And now that he's not there, he's doing this to them. It's not loyalty.
Well, I've got to go to the news. You've got to go. You've got a busy afternoon and a busy week. Thank you for your time. We enjoy chatting with you. I hope you can join us again, same time, same channel next Thursday.
Will do. Thanks, Brent. Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure. Bye. Have a good week.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Senator Pauline Hanson.